This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As Detroit's bankruptcy troubles have become front-page news around the nation, so too has the thorny subject of public pensions. In approving Detroit's bankruptcy, federal judge Stephen Rhodes gave the city the go-ahead to slash its public pension and health care benefits. Municipal finance experts and retirement advisors around the nation are watching what happens in Detroit, and that includes my next guest. Alicia Monell is director of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, and she believes the idea that pensions for city retirees can be cut in bankruptcy is alarming. Alicia Monell joins us now from Boston. Welcome to Stateside.
Oh, happy to be here, Cindy.
Alicia, you were quoted as saying pensions are not the reason Detroit is in trouble, but I think a lot of us seem to have gotten that message from emergency manager Kevin Orr. Can you explain to us what you meant?
Yes, when you look at the cost of Detroit pensions compared to the cost of pensions for other cities, Detroit is just not high on the list. And the reasons are that the police and fire plan is really quite well funded, and the other plan is better funded than those in the national average. So they're pretty well provided for. So Detroit's under a lot of financial pressures. They do have unfunded pension commitments. It's just that in that particular dimension, Detroit is not particularly in trouble.
In fact, your center ranked American cities by just how much of a burden public pensions are. Where did Detroit fit in?
I think it was number 61. It was way down the list. 61 out of 173.
That, I think, would surprise so many of us who just have come away from, in these recent months, thinking that really it all, much of it came down to pension issues.
So, I mean, how much that of the promises that are not funded depends on precisely how you calculate what they call the unfunded liability. And you can make it bigger or smaller depending on what interest rate that you use. And probably Detroit uses too high an interest rate and underestimates the amount gap between promised benefits and assets. But still, it's not high on the list of Detroit's troubles.
We have certainly heard here in Southeast Michigan, and if anyone kind of close to Detroit has heard, that the eyes of the nation are upon Detroit and what is happening. And certainly we've seen other places where pensions of public workers seem to be under attack. We know Illinois legislature passed a pension reform bill that cuts retiree benefits. Do you expect other cities to do what Detroit has done?
I really don't think the Detroit situation and Illinois have very much in the way of implications for the rest of the nation. Not to be harsh to you, since this is your home,
sure.
But Detroit is a basket case, and the politicians in Illinois are just deadbeats and have not funded their pensions for decades. And so Illinois is always tying for last place in terms of the funded status of the plan. And so Illinois is the worst. And so you can't take the worst case in the nation and say, oh, that has implications for the whole rest of the country. And as you know, Detroit has, you know, just a host of problems, which makes it atypical. And so I don't think that cities are going to start going bankruptcy like dominoes, and I don't think that this is going to lead to a new round of pension cuts generally. I don't have complete knowledge of everything going on in Detroit, but my understanding is that there are two plans, and it sounds like the police and fire has been run in a rather businesslike way, but the other plan may not have. And my view is, like, to the extent there's any shenanigans, I have no problem with people losing money. To the extent that people are just receiving, you know, the benefit that you would expect them to get on the plan, from the plan, I hate to see those benefits cut.
I'm speaking with Alicia Monell, who is the director of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, as we kind of take a look at municipal pension cuts and what could be ahead, not only for City of Detroit employees and retirees, but municipal workers across the country. Should it be harder for workers to retire at
a comparatively young age? I mean, we know that there are municipal workers who are hanging it up in their mid-50s.
Right. I think that's a very important point. I mean, I run a center that's focused on all areas of retirement, and one of our main arguments is that given how much longer we're living and how much healthier we are and how much more stamina we have and how less physically demanding the jobs are, that we all as a nation have to work longer. So pensions that are designed for people to retire in their 50s after 30 years or, you know, after 25 years in the case of police and fire, I view as not well-designed pensions. So if I were setting up a compensation schedule for workers in Detroit going forward, I would have something that looked very different. But I just want to follow on with that point, and that is that I don't want to lose sight in all this discussion about cutting, is that what we're trying to do here in Detroit, in Illinois, in every state and city in the union, is hire good people to run our cities and towns and states, to teach our children, to protect us against crime, and to help us in case of fire. And so we want to pay those people a compensation package, both pensions and wages, that is very close to what they get could get if they went to the private sector. If you don't do that, then you're not going to get good people, right? Any young person is going to say, I can get more in the private sector, I'm going there.
Sure.
So I just think that this sort of hacking away kind of mentality is what you hear when you hear about both Detroit and Illinois needs to be reframed in terms of how should we structure our compensation package so we get good employees going forward.
Alicia, your work really centers on retirement, and I just wonder from your perspective, how prepared are most American households to be able to retire, whether public or private?
Public is better than private, but for the nation as a whole, we put something out called the National Retirement Risk Index, which estimates the percent of households when they get to 65 who will not be able to maintain their standard of living. So, and that number is currently around 50%. So that says half of American working age households, when they get to retirement, are not going to be able to live in the same way after they stop working as they could before they did.
Alicia Monell, Director of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. It really has been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, delighted.